And I'm handing you over now to Ronnie O'Brien, who's talking to Sean Moynihan of Alone.
Talking to us today is Sean Moynihan, who is the CEO of Alone. And Sean has been a regular contributor to our programmes over the years, and he's always a very welcome guest. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Now, Sean, obviously one of the things that we're highlighting today, particularly in relation to your organisation, proposed cuts to home help.
Yeah, I suppose we were all very disappointed last week when these were announced and they're so quick and arbitrary. I suppose they're not the areas that are over budget, yet they're the areas that seem to suffer.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, it has to be pointed out, reinforced, that these are quite swathing cuts on the back of cuts that happened last year.
Well, last year there was... There was 1 million hours of home help and home care cut, and this year there was another 500,000, and this cut now is another 500,000 again. So if you imagine 2 million hours of home care, it is an awful lot. The support you can give anybody by calling in for an hour every day would be amazing, but if you cut 2 million hours of that support, that is people's lifeline to independence, to living life at home with dignity, and that really is what is being cut.
Yeah, and the thing is that the government appears to have done a bit of a U-turn as regards assistance for educational needs for disabled students and things like that.
Well, I think they have, and that's to be welcomed, and we're hoping they'll also reflect on this area as well, on the home help. I mean, the cutting into disability was slightly outrageous, and I mean, we're hoping that they'll also look at this area. I think what people have got to see is that these are really low-cost, high-value services, and the point is this is what enables people to, those that need it, to remain independent, to remain part of our society, remain part of our community, but also, even if you want to bring it down to money, right, it's £10 million out of a £30 billion budget. But if people end up in care homes or in hospitals or anywhere else, it'll cost them 10 times that amount of money. So it just doesn't make sense on a social level, on a medical level, and it doesn't make sense on a financial level.
No, you mentioned 10 million and 30 billion. I mean, that's sort of loose change. But again, care in the community was sort of the buzzword in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. You know, we're going to close down homes, institutions, and everybody's going to be cared for at home. This hasn't actually happened, and now they're cutting back, as you say, 2 million hours. That's incredible.
It is. I mean, I think what's been happening is, in fairness, as you say, it's been government policy for years to move strategically to get people from care homes or institutions into the community, because that's where older people want to be. It's where people possibly with physical disabilities want to be. It's where we want them to be. It's where their families want them to be. And it's also more cost effective, I suppose. But if you're going to change a system, then you must plan for it. And I suppose we've all known the system's been in trouble for 4 years. So really, in some ways, it comes as no surprise. So there should be ability to move and change within the system so that the money is in the community as much as possible to stop people having to go to acute.
Yeah. There's another thing that's going to affect your clients, your demographic. Hiking gas prices. Now, I noticed that last year there was a 19% cut in allowances, but gas went up 22%, and now it's going up again.
Yeah, gas went, as you say correctly, went up to 22% last year. The allowances were cut by 19%, and now it's another 8.5%. And I suppose, as you know, Ronnie, we work with the 10% of older people who struggle in later life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Lots of older people are contributing. But if you think about it, I was talking to a man the other day who's 64 years old, and he retired early, not because he wanted it, but because he has a disability. And he's on a pension of 182. He's 64 years old, €182 a month, or sorry, a week.
Yeah.
So he's €182 a week. So 22% with a 19% cut in the allowance with another 8%. And because he's a disability, he's in the house a lot. That's an awful lot to absorb on top of all the other charges. So there's no targeting of charges or allowances. And I mean, we all know the next thing, he may lose his travel pass. Do you know what I mean? He may lose. Do you know what I mean?
Is that, you know, coming? That's
the, Oh, that was in the papers yesterday, that there's a review group sitting to decide whether to take away the travel pass or to confine it. So I suppose in some ways, you know, there's no targeting, there's no seeing what people can. I mean, we all know where the country is. We all know the changes are needed.
Yeah.
But I suppose from our point of view is some of the structures need to change as well, Ronnie.
Yeah, but the thing is with the travel pass, you know, and maybe I'm being incredibly naive, it doesn't actually cost the government anything. I mean, if people get on buses, the buses are going anyway.
That would be the way I'd look at it, Ronnie. But my understanding is I think that the government pays the CIE or bus, Dublin Bus or whatever the national railways, or they pay them for it. A bit like I think the TV allowance. The government actually gives RTE all the money.
Right.
They don't actually get an exemption, which again, I would agree with you. I'm not sure why they pay it.
Yeah, no, I find that...
The
bus is going anyway. The people, if you allow them to travel, you know, they will be part of a greater community. And, you know, I've actually had my travel pass for almost the last year. I'm giving away my age. I got it when I was 21.
Yeah.
I've actually only used it once.
Yeah.
You know, so there aren't people out there,
yeah,
you know, flying high and saying, how many miles can we do today?
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, as I said, that's just a discussion point at the moment. There is rumours that that'll be next. But it's the fact of that they don't target it. They're not looking to see what the effect on the citizens are. I suppose as government, as I said, the cutting the 10 million in the home help and the care assistance has a far more disproportionate effect on those people than maybe saving 10 million somewhere else out of a £13 billion budget.
Yeah.
You know, you're decimating. And again, I think anybody who saw the 9 o'clock news the other night with all those great people with disabilities out campaigning couldn't imagine how anybody would make a decision to start your cuts with those people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I find it slightly ironic and maybe extremely thoughtless that, you know, cuts to disabled came at a time when we were celebrating the Paralympic Games.
I think everybody was a bit surprised by that, and as I said, the same thing with the home helps with the care assistance for older people. It seems a funny place when you're under pressure. It seems a funny place to start out of such a large budget when you've got to do it at the end. I know people say they're saving money in other places, but I think the system needs to change as well, and they need to really have a look at how all the different departments work together within the health services and things. From our point of view, we'd also view that we want to be a partner in that. We're quite happy to play our role to participate in change, supporting older people and things, because I suppose it is a time of change and people can either resist, you know, people who work in it or health services, we can either resist it or we can embrace it to try and protect the most vulnerable. And I think that we should be encouraging everybody who works in it, everybody who works in the government departments, who works in the HSE, who works in the Department of Environment, who even works in charities, to embrace the change, to work to protect the most vulnerable, and so that cuts like these don't come again.
Right, I'm probably going to overstep the mark, as sometimes I want to do. I had been thinking over the past few years that I was getting, you know, me personally, my perception, that I was getting mixed messages from the present government and indeed the last government. I think basically what they're saying now is very clear. Be healthy, live long, but not too long, because we can't afford the pensions. And please don't get sick, because we can't afford to look after you. That seems to me the message.
I can very much understand how somebody would read that message into it. We've got to remember the people that now are getting cut now are the people who probably, I mean, you remember, Ronnie, in the mid-80s?
I do, indeed.
Everything else is, at one stage, I remember my own father got arrested, like it was 70p, he says it was up to 68, 70p in the pound if you were on the higher rate of tax, and then down below that, people were paying up to 70% in PAYE in their taxes, and people had to work long hours and everything else is to pull us out of recession. Go back to, if we've got the older, some people, we've got people we work with into their 90s, they probably had to pull the country out in the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, the important thing is, and these are the very people who've paid all the taxes, and now they're not in a position maybe to earn money anymore. Do you know what I mean? Or to go back. If they were healthy enough, they're the exact same people who would go back out now and try and earn more money and everything else.
Now
that they've done it, probably some of them have done it and dug in for the country and paid their taxes and contributed twice out of two very large recessions, and now we're cutting them further.
Yeah. Again, I'm being facetious, but I imagine there are many young people out there to get on a bus and are afraid to sit beside a senior citizen because we have been described as an economic time bomb. You know,
well, that's it. It's a system based on fear. And I think we've got to get away from that. There are things that are right. Children, to people with disabled, older people, we need to mind the most vulnerable and those in society, very important, and we have to live to our values. And that type of language, you know, just has no place.
No, absolutely. Look, Sean, as always, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck with, you know, the work that's been going on, what, for the past 35 years now, or thereabouts?
Yes, 35 years this year.
Yeah. Well, look, again, many thanks for your time, and no doubt I will be talking to you again fairly shortly.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That was Ronnie O'Brien there talking to Sean Moynihan of Alone, and thanks to Ronnie. And also congratulations, 35 years of Alone, Sean, and everyone else involved in Alone.